I invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at just a few verses there this morning, 19 to 21, a passage that we've spent some time with recently, not only here, but in our midweek Bible studies, a passage I think that's very, very important. I was thinking back to when I first came to Lakeshore, I think the very first time I visited here. And I looked at this facility and I thought, there's a lot of blue here. And I remember looking at this deep, rich blue carpet and the blue pews. And I thought, there's a lot of blue. Some of the walls at that time, some still are, were painted blue. And I just was rather struck by that. Somewhere along the line, somebody told me that that was part of the deliberate decorating scheme when the building was built, and I don't know if this is true, if this is a Lakeshore urban legend. Some of you who were around at that time had a voice that you could tell me otherwise, but this is what I at least have picked up. So I may be wrong. It may be a Lakeshore urban legend, but the blue was deliberate as a reminder of the fact that we live in the desert, and blue reminds us of that much-needed refreshing water that we all have to have. Again, you may say, that's crazy, Pastor. I don't know where you heard that. That's got nothing to do with it. Well, it makes an interesting story, at least, whether it's true or not. So as I think about that, and of course, we are much reminded that we live in a hot desert. We're into that time of year that we don't especially look forward to. But I'm thinking, if it was all about reminding us of refreshing water, I'd have taken it a step further. And I'll just tell you about this secret little dream I've had for most of the time I've been here. I picture a fountain out there in the narthex area. Somewhere I got this little picture I put together and sort of created that. But if you want to really get this refreshing water scheme going, I can just picture this tall fountain out there and the water running down. But anyway, that's another story. That fits into something that I've noticed that's happened to me in the time that I have lived here. And that is, I realize I've become nearly obsessed with water fountains and water features. Those of you who've been to our house, you understand that. There's lots of them, indoors and out. And I'm not sure, I'm drawn to that. I have an obsession. Just last night, I'm taking this little water pump and I'm taking some gravel and some stuff. And anyway, we won't go into all that. But anyway, I just love water features. And I think a part of it is I'm an Indiana boy. And where I come from, you get a lot of rain there, and you got a lot of green stuff that you don't have to artificially water. It just happens. And I think I'm in withdrawal, because I need that water. I need rain. And so I think that's probably part of it. Some psychologists, I'm sure, could analyze me and better describe that. But there's probably something much deep-seated going on beyond that, but we won't get into that. Along the lines of potential craziness, I may run too far with this illustration, but I think that living in the hot, arid, southwest desert region that we live in, I think that is a type, an illustration of life in this present age. So I want to shift gears and talk about it spiritually. I think that we live in a proverbial desert place as we await the coming of the kingdom of God. And as we await, we do get kind of dry and thirsty for what God is going to do. In all seriousness, spiritually, I know I'm there a lot of the time. I'm thinking, God, why can't your kingdom come sooner? Why can't it come today? Because I know what you're going to do in the age to come is so fantastic. It's going to meet every need, and it's going to take care of the deepest thirst. God, why couldn't it be today? And so there are those times when I'm waiting and longing for the kingdom of God, and I desperately need some refreshing as I wait for the fullness of the kingdom of God. I sometimes get spiritually dry and intensely thirsty as I look forward to the age to come. But I'm not standing before you to complain this morning, because I do not believe that we've been left to languish until the kingdom of God comes. I think God has a plan that we be refreshed now as we await the coming of the kingdom of God. I want us to look at that fabulous passage in Acts 3, a portion of a message that the apostle Peter shared. And I'm picking it up in verse 18. And he says, "But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Therefore, based upon that truth, therefore, verse 19, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus the Christ, appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets from ancient time. If I understand Peter correctly, if I can summarize what he says in those verses, the message is basically this, that repentance leads to refreshing as we await ultimate restoration. So if I can use three R words in these verses here, I believe that's the essence of what he says. It is fulfilled that Jesus has suffered and he has paid the price. God has fulfilled that. What God wanted to accomplish through his Son, that has been accomplished. And that was in the not too distant past when Peter said that. But he boldly makes that declaration. It has happened. It is fulfilled of what God desired through his Son. And so now what you need to do, as you come to terms with that great fact and truth, what you need to do is repent and return. Repent, very simply, is to reorient your thinking. I know we often talk about repent being, I feel sorry for my sins, that's a part of it, yes. But I think it's even more than that. Repent is to reorient your thinking about what God has done through His Son. Reorient your thinking about God's plan for you. So repent and return, get on the path that God desires for you, and there will be times of refreshing that will come from the presence of the Lord as you do so, as you await the ultimate restoration of all things, as he talks about in verse 21, and a focus lately in, I guess, my preaching and teaching, and something that's been so very central to me has been verse 21. I'm not sure why, but I think the Lord has especially led me to that, and I think He would lead you to that. That is a tremendously important verse that states where we are in the plan of God. Heaven has received God's Son, and He remains there until the period of restoration that all of the prophets have spoken about, a message validated time and time again. And so God's restoration project has been a great deal on my mind. I think I've just seen a greater clarity into this verse because it really is what the kingdom of God message that Jesus was all about is all about. Sometimes that phrase kingdom of God is kind of hard to wrap our minds around. What's that all about? If you want a good working description and definition, I think verse 21 is it. It is the restoration project that God has. And that leads into the good news. We talk about gospel, which gospel means good news. The best news of all is that God has a plan to fix everything that is broken. And I think that is a message the world desperately needs to hear, a message we understand that we need to share far and wide. Nothing and no one is too broken to be fixed. God's restoration plan is to fix all things that are broken. Jesus used a very interesting word to describe it. Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, he used another R word. It is the word regeneration. In the regeneration of all things he spoke about. And I think that is the restoration project. That is what the kingdom of God will accomplish. The regeneration of all people and all things. That word regeneration literally means re-genesis. I like that. The re-genesis of everything. You know about Genesis. You've read the story. How in the beginning God created everything. And God created everything perfect. You know how the story goes. Sin entered into the world, and the world became broken and people became broken. But the good news is God has a plan not to abandon it all, not to abandon this planet or to abandon people that He has made. He has a plan for regenesis, to remake all people and all things. You got to bear with me for a moment here. I want to talk to the Star Trek fans in the room. I know you are here. I know who you are. And those of you who are can relate to what I will tell you. The rest of you will give me a blank stare and say maybe he'll make some sense in a few minutes after this. There was a Star Trek movie where they had a secret project called Genesis. Aha, do I get an aha moment out of a few people? top secret project that I think the Klingons wanted it. You know, that's the way it always goes. The enemy wants to get their hands on whatever the Federation had. Well, anyway, Genesis was this amazing project where they were able to take a barren planet. I think in reality, that little special effect thing, I think that was actually the moon, but anyway, that's beside the point. Anyway, this Genesis project creates in a short amount of time all this vegetation, and suddenly you've got this barren planet that all of a sudden looks strangely like Earth, which I imagine maybe they also put some images of that in there, but hey, it's science fiction, you can do whatever you want. But I'm thinking that Genesis project serves as kind of an illustration of what God intends for this planet and for us as His people. In a moment, God designs to re-Genesis the whole thing. The Earth will be made new. And we also are going to be made new as broken people, except the process for us, it's another R word. There's a big deal about R words today. It is a process called resurrection. That is the regeneration plan for us. The Bible speaks a great deal about that, but it is the complete renewal of broken bodies and lives in which we are given the gift of immortality. And so that is the regeneration God has for us as broken people. He wants to resurrect or resuscitate us in the truest sense of the word. And so that is God's restoration plan for us, is to resurrect us. We are totally mortal in this age. I believe Scripture teaches that when we die, that's it. It is over. That we are in the dust and we have no memory until this great event called resurrection. And I'm so glad that this is mentioned so many times in Scripture, that God plans to resuscitate us out of the sleep of death and give us the gift of immortality. That is this regeneration thing in the truest sense for us as individuals. That's God's ultimate plan. Now let me back up a moment, because I'm sidestepping a phrase that we just read in Acts 3 and in verse 19. God has a present day plan for us. And it is a plan on the road to restoration called times of refreshing, as Peter talks about it. If we repent and return today, the plan that God has for us today as we await for restoration is refreshing. God wants to bring some times of refreshing into our lives. And we might scratch our head and say, Peter, what are you talking about? And where did you ever pick up on this concept? It is interesting, if you go back into John's gospel, you find out that Peter learned the lessons very well from his teacher regarding this. John 7, verses 37 to 39, it talks about on the last day of a great feast that Jesus stood and he cried out, and this is what he said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Verse 9, very important description. "But this he spoke of the Spirit, which those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So, the times of refreshing that Peter talks about, he heard about them from the Master himself. Jesus made that wonderful statement, "Whoever's thirsty, come to me and drink." Sounds like what he said to the woman at the well, doesn't it? "Come to me and drink, and out of your life, if you believe, out of your inmost being will flow rivers of living water." Again, basically what he said to the woman at the well. And so when he made that kind of a statement, that you are going to be refreshed, you're going to have living waters flowing up in your very life, it's clarified in verse 39, that's talking about the Spirit. At the time he spoke those words, the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Jesus had not suffered and died, had been raised from the dead and ascended to the Father, where he received that Spirit. That had not yet happened. But that's the refreshing plan that God has for us today, is that we might have these times of refreshing, that we might have this living water flowing up out of our lives. Jesus referred to Scripture as validation, and there are several Scriptures in the Old Testament where God promises that very thing. Isaiah 44, verse 3, one example. God is speaking and he says, "I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." Isaiah 55, verse 1, a verse I'm sure many of you are quite familiar with. The invitation, come everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. And without money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. And a promise in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 25. Again, God makes this promise. I satisfy the weary ones and refresh everyone who languishes. Jesus, as His messenger and as His Son, fully represented that great truth. And so Jesus says, I line up with the promises of God, because from God, through His Spirit, comes the times of refreshing. The Apostle Peter knew exactly what day that times of refreshing began. The great message he gave on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, verses 32 and 33, the very end of that message, he says, this Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. We were there. We've seen it, he says. Verse 33, therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth that which you both see and hear. The living waters came in a dramatic way on the day of Pentecost. That opened up a brand new era, an era that we live in now that we are nearly 2,000 years into. And so we live in the times of refreshing. We enjoy the times of refreshing as we look forward to the ultimate time of restoration. But again, we pray, Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. We long for the time. We groan along with nature, as Scripture elsewhere tells us. We're groaning as we long for that day of restoration. And so the times of refreshing, we need those. We desperately need those times of refreshing. Again, sometimes we're dry. Sometimes we're thirsty. And we're in a desert. We're looking for an oasis. And spiritually, that is very much so. Sometimes we want the times of refreshing. And honestly, sometimes we don't experience them like we want. I'm thinking about a song that I believe we're going to become familiar with in the next few weeks. Not a new song, but it's a very appropriate song entitled Times of Refreshing. A portion of the lyrics state, and I appreciate the author's honesty, when I'm weary from the fight and trying to do what's right, you bring times of refreshing to my soul. The writer had a testimony about being weary from the fight, defending the faith, living the Christian life, weary from that, weary from trying to do the right things. But the testimony was that God did bring times of refreshing to the soul. We know that to be the case, that there are times of refreshing that are promised. We've looked at it today. But sometimes the weariness, if we're honest, is prolonged. Sometimes we're spiritually thirstier than we ever thought possible. Sometimes we wonder, when do we get a nice, long, cold drink of spiritual water? I'm thinking on this Sunday, at least in Lakeshore, this is the beginning of a new church year. We had an election recently, and servants were selected for the regular capacities of service through this local church. Reminded that some have decided to step away from some of those capacities, perhaps in need of spiritual refreshing, but I'm thinking of others who have signed on and said, yes, I will commit to serve this next year or the next 2 years, whatever the case may be. In honesty, there may be those who have committed to that are saying, I'm not real sure where I'm going to find the refreshing and the strength and the energy to do this. I want to do it, but deep down, I'm thirsty. Deep down, I have a need in my life. I need some refreshing if I'm going to effectively serve. And as I think about that being a possibility in some of your hearts and your minds, I'm thinking that I wish we had that nice fountain I talked about a little bit ago. I wish we had this nice big fountain here, a spiritual fountain, if you will, that had the coldest, clearest, most refreshing water imaginable. So that you can come up and say, "This, I can do this. I can come up and take a nice long drink from this. I'll be spiritually refreshed and I'll be ready to jump in and serve with a great deal of vigor." I wish there was something like that, that I could call you up right now and say, come right up here and take a nice long drink. I think I got a picture of that fountain in there somewhere that doesn't have the words in front of it. And that just might make you way too thirsty. I think that's what I'm thinking about. You might be looking at that. I'm looking at that right now, wishing I had a nice long drink of it. But again, if that just could represent for us spiritually what we want and what we need. Yeah, I want a nice long drink of spiritual refreshment. I guess I'm thinking that in a sense we do have that today. I'm glad that this day is a day when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, because we do find refreshment as we come to the Lord's table. I'm thinking about the cup that we drink from, and I know that represents another liquid entirely. We know that represents the blood of Christ and how important for that. But I think we could look at it in another way too, that in a sense it can represent the refreshing of living waters that also come from Jesus our Savior. And so I think this is one of those days we long for when we are refreshed. We come and experience some times of refreshing as we partake of the emblems that remind us that we partake of Christ Himself, who alone is able to refresh our souls. I'm thinking also of the role of the body of Christ, the family of God, that we are refreshment to one another. At least that is the design for the body of Christ. An interesting verse in Philemon, one of those short little New Testament postcards, as we sometimes call it, Paul the Apostle writes to a man by the name of Onesimus, who has a slave by the name of Philemon, and he speaks to the owner of that slave, and he appeals to him in verse 20, and he says, "Yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ." Refresh my heart in Christ. What an interesting phrase and appeal. And I think it's right for us to do that to one another, to appeal to one another and say, "Refresh my heart in Christ." It's kind of dry. I feel like I'm in the desert and I need some refreshing. We ought to be able to do that for one another. And of course, there's a variety of ways that we do that for each other, to refresh each other. I think sometimes it's as simple as listening intently, because sometimes we go through day-to-day existence and nobody really listens to us. One of the great ways to refresh one another is to sit down together, undistracted, eyeball to eyeball, and really listen and allow a brother or sister to unburden themselves and share those things they need to share so that they can be refreshed, so we can refresh one another. By listening intently, we can refresh one another by speaking honestly and lovingly. And I think those two things have to go hand in hand. It's a shame when we play games and we don't speak the truth in love. We need to do that. We need to be able to say those things that we each one need to hear. And sometimes it's a harsh truth, but it can be said lovingly. We need to have that. That refreshes us. When someone will sit down and say, "Your life is going in a direction it ought not to go, and I'm concerned for you, and I want you to deflect back to where you ought to be, onto the narrow road headed for the narrow gate. And I say that because I'm concerned about you, and I want to help direct you." I think we need to do that, and that's one of those ways that we refresh one another. And, of course, to pray for one another sincerely, and not just pray for one another at a distance while we're at home, but sometimes to pray for one another together. How important that is, whether it's picking up the phone and calling, or whether it's just getting together for a few moments and laying hands and praying for those things honestly and caringly. But we need to do that. We need to refresh one another. So I think those things are important to do. I'm not telling you things that you don't know, because Lakeshore Church has always impressed me as a caring congregation right from the very beginning, and I'm convinced that this congregation still is a caring, loving church. But these are things that we can go a step further with. Hebrews 10:25 talks about encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approach. And so we can never rest on our laurels and say we're caring and loving and we've arrived. As we see the day approach of God's restoration plan, we say, you know, I need to redouble the efforts to encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ, because the times are tough and we each one need refreshing more now than ever. I thought it good to leave you with a challenge this morning. I always think it's good to come down to maybe just one thing that we can do. And I want to ask you to pray about wisdom as you fill this out. It's on your outline. But seek out the Lord's wisdom and how you might be a proverbial cup of cold water to others in the family of God who need a spiritual drink of refreshing. Again, think about one deliberate, manageable step. And so I want to challenge you with that today. Think about that phrase that's there. Think about your response. You don't have to write it down now, but you might begin to pray about it now. And even look around you, and you might even be drawn to someone who is especially dry and thirsty and hurting, and say, "How would you use me to be a cup of cold water to that person or that person. So I just want to extend that challenge to you today as we consider the times of refreshing that we live in.